morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. Joined this morning by our live blog directors, Jamie Jorza, John Rahor. We are talking some Packers football. We'll be talking about the release of the NFL schedule. But to kick off the show, right now we have on the line Chris Stoiber, NFL draft analyst. Chris, how you doing this morning?
Good, Brian. How you doing?
Fantastic. Thanks to you for joining us today. Chris, you've worn many hats as an NFL draft analyst. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, jobs you've held in the media, and what you do now?
Sure. Yeah, I started off as a grassroots website owner of a draft website. From there, I was signed to a contract with Scout.com and Fox Sports. I was with Fox Sports and Scout.com for roughly 3.5 years. Then went over to CBS and NFL Draft Scout.com for a short stint. I was over there for about 6 to 7 months. And then I signed a contract with the Georgia Force as their director of player personnel, and have been there for about 2 years now. And I'm also dabbling in the media a little bit more now. I have my own website at chrisstoiber.com. I scout, I would say, probably about 1,200 players each year. It really helps me with doing things in the Arena Football League. Also, trying to keep in touch with the guys in the CFL and other professional football leagues. So, being a draft analyst really helps my position as director of player personnel, just because I know all these players and I know the players that a lot of people don't even know in the smaller schools as well.
Is there any case of like almost cheering for a guy not to get drafted in the NFL so he maybe you could sign him in the Arena League?
Absolutely. I cheer for it all the time. Guys that that are rated in my top 100, I sure hope to hell that they don't make in the NFL so I can sign them. That's a great thing.
Well, Chris and I are actually taking part in an internet mock draft called Mock 4, which you can follow along at the website mock1.net. And I kind of wanted to use Mock 4 as the basis for analyzing a few prospects on today's show. If you don't mind, Chris, you're actually representing the Philadelphia Eagles and myself, the Green Bay Packers. So what I wanted to do is run through some of your picks and then run through some of ours. And let's start with your first-round pick, Dontari Poe, who you took 9th overall. What do you see in Poe that makes him a top 10 overall draft choice?
Well, it's really hard to teach what he has. He has the size. He has the speed. He's very mobile. He does a lot of good things athletically that you want in a guy that's going to be an interior presence. However, on film, he doesn't really always show his capabilities as a football player. And that's where the concern comes in. But for me, it's not a big concern, because if he has the right coaching at the NFL level, you can really develop his skills as far as technique and being able to fit into a certain scheme. So if he's with the right coach and the right system, and I had him going to the Eagles at number 9, I traded up to number 9 to get him. But with a guy like Jim Washburn, who had some familiarity with a guy like Albert Haynesworth, who had some motor issues and some other issues as well, Dontari Poe doesn't have those issues. It's just more of technique and just keeping balance and keeping his effort up inside. So I think what Poe would bring to the Eagles is a force inside that they haven't had, a big interior guy that can really help out the linebackers at the second level.
Speaking of linebackers, you had another pick in the first round, and with the 26th selection, you took Alabama outside linebacker Courtney Upshaw. Outside linebacker is also a position the Packers need help at, so I'm kind of interested in hearing what you like about Upshaw.
He's just a playmaker to me. He's a heady kind of nose, hard-nosed player, great defensive player. I think he's scheme diverse. Some people believe that he's better in a 3-4 outside linebacker position. I actually think he can play in a 4-3 outside linebacker. It may take him a little bit more time to transition to that, but at first he could probably put his hands in the dirt and play 4-3 defensive end if the Eagles wanted him to, but I think eventually he could develop into a outside linebacker for them. But again, he's a baller to me. He's a guy who makes plays when they're needed to be made. He's always around the ball, very instinctive. He's a high-energy kind of guy. He has good size. Some people are worried about his stature. But overall, if you just watch a game film of him instead of dissecting him, I think he's one hell of a football player, and I think he's going to help out any team.
In the second round, you selected Oregon running back LaMichael James. I guess the question with James is, can he be an every down back, or does that even matter?
I don't think it really matters right now. When you look at this league, it's all about playmakers. It's about speed on offense, your versatility. And I say what LaMichael James brings is excitement, explosion. He's all those words that you want to put about a running back, a guy who can make plays out of the backfield, whether it's as a runner or as a receiver. At Oregon, he really didn't have a chance to showcase his abilities as a receiver, but he has them. To me, he reminds me a lot of Warrick Dunn as a prospect. He's a guy that I think out on the edge, on the perimeter, wherever you want to put him, he's going to make plays on special teams. He's dynamic. So with the Eagles, they love those big-time playmakers. You pair him with a guy like Sean McCoy, that's a very interesting 1-2 punch right there, especially with when you have guys like Jeremy Maclin and DeSean Jackson. That sets up the Eagles' offense. It's got more explosive.
And that's where your draft ended. You traded up a couple times and or once that got rid of some mid-round draft choices. So we'll move on to the Packers' draft choices now, the ones we made. And our first choice was another Alabama linebacker, Dante Hightower, in the first round. And I guess I might ask, why did you pass up Hightower at number 26? You went for Upshaw, so what do you see there?
Well, the Eagles just acquired DeMeco Ryan, so I don't really see a need for an inside linebacker like a Dante Hightower, who I believe is better for a 3-4 defense than he is for a 4-3 defense. I think it's a great pick for the Packers. They're going to go for an inside linebacker, pair him with a Desmond Bishop on the inside. That would be a great pick for them. But for the Eagles, I don't think Hightower is a guy that they would really go after. I think Upshaw, to me, he gives them the versatility that they really like. They can put him on the defensive front. They can move him back to linebacker. They can maybe use Upshaw as the joker in a 4-3 defense, where Hightower is strictly an inside linebacker. But like I said, 4-3-4, Hightower is a good pick.
That's a good point. I forgot the Eagles just signed Ryans there. But anyhow, in our second and third round picks, we'll talk about them in tandem here. We took a pair of defensive linemen, Brandon Thompson of Clemson and Derek Wolfe of Cincinnati. What do you think of these D-line guys?
Yeah, they're great for the 3-4. I think Brandon Thompson could be a nose in the 3-4. He's that kind of strong guy inside who I think uses his hands very well, good penetrator. Doesn't make the impact plays behind the line of scrimmage, but again, he can hold up the blocks and really help out the defensive line and the linebackers. Wolf is a guy who's moving up the board. You know, there's a lot of people that are high on the kid. He's a high motor. He's kind of a high riser. He's a momentum gainer at this point. So to have him and have Thompson in that defensive front, that does help out the Packers. They're always looking for defense. Their defense is a tremendous asset to them. I think at some point, I would think the Packers will look to shore up that secondary, whether it be a safety or cornerback, with some aging players, some guys that have some injuries as well.
Well, Chris, we really appreciate you coming on this morning, talking a little bit about the NFL draft. Best of luck in the rest of Mach 4 to you. And again, thanks for joining us.
And no problem. It was like sitting down with the gang with the stupid helmet on, the Packers helmet. So that was always a good time.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot. We appreciate it. And we'll see you around the Twitterverse.
All right, Brian. Thank you.
Yeah, take care. Chris Stuber of the Georgia Force, the player personnel director there. Also of ChrisStuber.com. Like we said early in the interview, he wears all sorts of hats. So, but he's a great NFL analyst and, you know, a guy who's moving up, you know, like he said, a grassroots internet started out. That's where he got his beginnings and now is doing it as a profession in the arena leagues. And who knows, maybe we'll see Chris in the NFL someday as well. So we hope so. Very good to talk NFL draft here. I suppose maybe it's time though, to talk, NFL schedule, seeing as that was the big news yesterday, and maybe we'll come back to the NFL draft at the end of the show here. But of course, the Packers, the whole NFL releasing their schedule yesterday, and so a lot of attention on that came out about, what was it, 6 p.m. yesterday, And by all means here, if you want to call into the show, the phone number is area code 347-352-0154. If you want to talk NFL draft, you want to talk NFL schedule, feel free to call in. And you know, I there were just a couple things that, you know, scheduling quirks, I guess, that draw your attention that I kind of wanted to talk about a little bit. And you know, the very beginning of the schedule is what, you know, I think you notice right away, of course, because it's just for the very top when you look at a schedule. But on top of that, the Packers start with two consecutive home games. And it not just two home games, but two games against very good teams. And first of all, it's pretty rare, actually, to start the season with two consecutive home games. The NFL really likes to spread things out. They don't like to give two teams two consecutive home games or two consecutive road games to kick off the season. They really try to avoid that for the most part from what I've seen over the years, at least from a Packers perspective. So to get two consecutive games right away was a little bit interesting. But then to start off the season with the San Francisco 49ers, you know, a team that, you know, literally was very close to, you know, making the Super Bowl last year. You know, just you know, losing out there in the NFC Championship game, came close. So good matchup, good, you know, start to the season from, you know, the national broadcast perspective. It's going to be a 3:15 game on Fox, so, you know, that's, it's going to be a national audience there, and you know, a very highly watched game when the ratings come out. Yeah, I can just see it right now. I know that's going to happen, but you know, big game, big way to start the season. The Packers get the home field advantage, so it's a matchup of one of the better offenses in the NFL with the Packers, at least they were last year, and the same thing for the 49ers, except them on defense, one of the better defenses in the NFL, and at least they were last year. We'll see what the new season brings. Hopefully the Packers' defense is a little bit better this year. So, you know, following opening day, following that opening first game of the season, the Packers get 3 days off, and then they get the Chicago Bears. Of course, an NFC North rivalry, traditional rivalry, rivalry, the oldest one in the NFL. But on top of that, you know, that what's really unique is the Thursday night matchup. For the first time in years, the NFL is bringing back Thursday night matchups early in the season. You know, for the past, ever since the NFL Network's been around, the Thursday night games have started about mid-season or so. You know, literally, late October, early November. And, you know, lasted till, you know, basically the second half of the year, minus perhaps the last week of the season, week 16 or 17. But anyway, yeah, so now they're having early season Thursday night games. So in week two, the Packers hosting the Chicago Bears, which, you know, again, good, I guess, that, you know, they're kicking off the season at home. But against, you know, a team that's always given them troubles the past couple years, or been tough at least the past couple years with the Chicago Bears, you know. So Packers, two home games, two good teams, basically, but the short turnaround against the Bears, 3 days to prepare for that game. So really, that, you know, there's going to be a lot of jam-packed action, you know, within about a week's time there. To start the year in early September, early to mid September, and after that, it's basically a short bye week, you know, because they play on the Thursday. Then they get 10 days off until their next game, and it's not just coming back on a Sunday; it's coming back on a Monday, their third game of the year against the Seattle Seahawks. You know, you would think after such a long layoff after the Thursday night game, maybe they'd play on a Sunday again so they don't have quite as long of a layoff. Not that it's a big deal, 1 day, but, you know, still a long layoff, mini bye week, and the Packers heading out to Seattle, heading out to see their former teammate, Matt Flynn, who will presumably be the starting quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks. I guess I say the word presumably. You know, they've said there will be a battle there between Tavares Jackson and Matt Flynn, and I suppose any other rookies they could bring in as well. But yeah, so that's what's going on in Seattle, and the Packers heading out there for Monday Night Football. So will be their first Monday night game of the year. So that's the beginning of the season. You know, a lot of action, a lot of primetime games, a lot of national television to kick off the year. The two home games right away, and then their first road game at Seattle. You know, on top of that, you know, talked about these primetime games, but, you know, there's five primetime games overall this year, which is also interesting. You know, five games, is that a record for Green Bay? I don't even know, to tell you the truth. I don't even know if that's, you know, if they've played more in the past, but, you know, it's got to be up there. So five primetime games, you know, starting with, of course, the Thursday night game against the Bears, following that up with the Monday night game against the Seahawks, but then three Sunday night football games. And those are some of the watched games, some of the most televised or most biggest audience games in the NFL, those Sunday night games on NBC, Sunday Night Football. So, you know, again, a big-time audience, and the Packers this year have three games on Sunday Night Football, which I guess ties for the league lead. I saw a tweet from, I believe, NBC Sports yesterday, tweeted out that the Packers, the Steelers, and the Patriots, and maybe one other team, they all play three games on Sunday Night Football. So, a lot of primetime action this year. Get ready to be watching a lot of football at night if you're a Packers fan, just in general. A lot of night games, a lot of primetime games this year. So hopefully you're a night owl, or you will become a night owl and instead of a morning dove, I guess, because you'll be staying up late. You know, some of those games, gosh, the Monday night games especially, don't they start real late? What they start, you know, 7:30 p.m., getting over around 11 p.m., practically ready for bed. I know in the past I've fallen asleep before, not too often. Most of the time a Packers football game can keep my attention, but especially if it's just a game I have no rooting interest in on Monday nights, I'll be falling asleep before the games are over. You know, other scheduling quirks, though, for the Packers, very division heavy at the end of the schedule. The Packers, they we already mentioned, they have that they start with Chicago in week two, their first NFC North game, but then don't have another one till the last 7 weeks of the year. Five out of the last seven games of the year are against NFC North teams. And you know, the NFL is doing that on purpose. They want to keep those division games till the end, and I can't blame them. I actually did find it a little bit weird that in Week 16, the second-to-last game of the year, the penultimate game of the year of the regular season at least, they play Tennessee, the Tennessee Titans at home. You know, the NFL had stated they want to keep the last, you know, I think Roger Goodell had said it at one point, and wants to keep, if possible, the last two games of the year for division games. And I kind of thought, or kind of predicted coming in, that was going to happen. The last two games of the year would be against NFC North opponents. Didn't, you know, the last one of the year is against Minnesota in Minnesota, but the second to last is against Tennessee in Green Bay. And, you know, I just thought that would be an NFC North game, but it's not. But still, regardless, you know, a lot of division games toward the end, five out of the last seven. So very heavy, you know, division race will be basically decided in the last month of the season. you know, pretty much. I mean, probably nobody's going to be out of the running at that point. And then the bye week, you know, in the placement of the bye week came at a good time for the Packers. And, you know, by the way, I suggest, you know, when the show's over, when we put the homepage back to the articles, the stories on Cheesehead TV, a good article from our own Zach Cruz, breaking down the Packers schedule and these scheduling quirks, a lot of them that I've just mentioned here, and part of my research here for today's show coming from his article, but you know, breaking down the scheduling quirks and the bye week coming at a good time, basically coming at mid-season for the Packers, which you actually like. I mean, I think if you're a player, if you're a coach, you like the late bye week because it kind of breaks up the season almost in halves. I mean, if you have one of the earliest bye weeks in the NFL, what does the first bye week come like? Week three, you play two games and then you have a bye and then you got the whole rest of the season to look ahead of you. I just don't think that's a good way to look at it from a player or a coach perspective. So the Packers actually have a bye week that comes at midseason, and I think the latest bye week in the entire NFL. I think it comes November 11th, Sunday, November 11th, that week at least, that the Packers, will be, having their bye and coming at midseason. And I think it comes off two consecutive home games and then they get a rest and then they hit the road for two consecutive road games right after the bye. They go to Detroit and New York, I think, if I'm correct off the top of my head here. So, a good break before a tough stretch there. And how about before the bye, three consecutive road games? It's just rare instance when a team has three consecutive road games. You know, that's really rare. The last time that happened was 1998, 15 years ago, for the Packers. So I mean, it's a lot of rare instances here, and maybe not a lot, but, you know, a couple of rare instances of things happening on the schedule that are worthy of note, worthy of mention, and that'll be tough. I mean, it's kind of good that the three consecutive road games are kind of, you know, easy games in a way that you could think of them that way. What are they're against the Colts, the worst team in the NFL this past season, the Houston Texans, who are obviously good. They made the playoffs last year. And then the St. Louis Rams, again, another bottom feeder, at least last year. And, it, you know, not that last year has any bearing upon what's going to happen this season, but, it's tough playing on the road no matter where you're playing in the NFL. So it'll be a tough stretch, and we'll see how they do. Comment from Patrick on the live blog here. What do you think the Packers' record will be? Oh, boy, I haven't even made a record prediction yet. I haven't really gone through, looked at the schedule carefully. John Rayhorse says here on the live blog, what do I think the Packers' record will be? He says 13-3. And you know, I would have to say somewhere in that range. I'm not going to go say 16-0 because nobody does that, as we found out very acutely this past season. Found out this past year that it's pretty darn hard to go 16-0, and I think it'll be even hard to duplicate 15-1. Now I think the Packers are still going to be very good, very very good. So I mean 13-3, 12-4. Kurt Kozad predicts on the live blog 12-4. I think that's totally, you know, within reach of the Packers. Mark on the live blog says nothing under 10-6. You know, it's tough to predict the Packers with a losing record. I would be, you know, I'm biased, of course. I'm a Packers fan. But I would be skeptical of anyone that would predict the Packers to have a losing record. You know, with the talent they have, with Aaron Rodgers running the show, And I suppose if Aaron Rodgers got injured all of a sudden, that could change things. That could change things in a hurry. But I mean, that's nothing but speculation, and I can't imagine him even being injured anytime soon. So I don't think that's going to happen during off-season conditioning. But anyhow, so that's the analysis of the Packers schedule. That's what to look forward to this year with the Packers and how things play out for them. So, you know, it's always fun when the NFL schedule comes out here in mid-April, right before the NFL draft, a chance to take a look forward, see how the season's going to shape up, see how things are going to play out, taking a look into the crystal ball. But, yeah, you know, it's a fun time of year, and of course, the next event on the schedule is the NFL draft, and we are now, a week and a day away. So 8 days away till the NFL draft. I guess that provides me an opportunity here, a plug. Have you gotten your Pro Football Draft preview copy yet? Our NFL draft guide here at CheeseheadTV.com. With only a little over a week remaining, have you gotten your copy yet? I highly suggest getting it. You know, it's great. It's our NFL draft guide geared specifically to Packers fans. You know, we break down over 300 prospects, taking a look how they fit into the Packers system if they were drafted into that system, and rank them and analyze them. And you know, we got mock drafts. We do a position analysis of the Packers players already on the team, and we take a look at team needs throughout the NFL. So, you know, take a look at it. I suggest getting it if you haven't already. But yeah, I mean, here we go, coming back to the NFL draft, just days away, 8 days now. It's not going to be too much longer. We're going to be finding out the newest members of the Green Bay Packers. I mean, this is the most exciting event of the offseason. And personally, for me, you know, it might be the most exciting event of the whole season, including the regular season. I almost enjoy the draft more than a game. I don't know. That's tough. I'm a NFL draft junkie. You know, I think I'm different than most people. I don't expect many people to hold that same opinion. I'm kind of weird in that way. But I almost enjoy the draft more than a game. Maybe because it's a three-day event. Maybe that's the case. Why? I certainly couldn't compare it to the Super Bowl. I'd rather see the Packers play in a Super Bowl than watch the NFL draft, that's for sure. But regardless, I mean, we're going to have new Packers players really soon. And hopefully some good ones. Hopefully some good ones. You know, I just sit here and I take a look at taking part in this Mock 4 draft we were talking about. Packers getting Dante Hightower. You know, how exciting would that be to get Dante Hightower? I think he's going to be one heck of an inside linebacker. I personally don't think he'll be an outside linebacker in a 3-4 defense in the NFL. You know, I've been wrong before, and who knows? You know, it was even suggested to me last night on Twitter by Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com and Bleacher Report that wouldn't it be interesting to see Hightower inside next to Desmond Bishop on running downs, or, you know, like first and second down, but then play outside linebacker on passing downs, getting after the quarterback. Really interesting idea. And I mean, first the Packers would have to draft Dante Hightower, so we're getting ahead of ourselves. But I do think that is a very interesting idea. Patrick asked on the live blog, 12 new players or less? Good question. Let's see. If I will say the Packers will draft less than 12 players. I will say they will move up at some point. I'm not saying it's going to be the first round, but they'll move up at some point, getting rid of a pick to move up at least once. But I mean, who knows? Maybe it could cancel out and they'll draft trade back later in the draft or something like that. So who knows? But, you know, I'm going to say less. But that's a really good question. And you know, regardless, after the draft, the Packers will sign roughly a dozen undrafted players. You know, roughly in that range. So be prepared for that. Packers signing about roughly a dozen undrafted guys. So you know, in addition to the draft, they'll be adding a whole lot of guys in the day or two following the draft. It won't take long. They'll be signing them fast and furiously as soon as the draft ends. So there's that to look forward to as well. So all sorts of new exciting things going to happen with the Green Bay Packers here. So that to look forward to. But anyhow, thank you everybody so much for joining us today here on Railbird Central. You know, come back on Friday. I hope we're going to have an NFL draft prospect joining us on Friday. I can't reveal who it is right now because I still haven't finalized it totally. But I've talked to his representatives and hopefully going to get him on the show. So look forward to that. But anyhow, looking forward to getting an NFL draft prospect on the show. And let's... We'll see you Friday, and have a good day, everyone. On behalf of John Rahor, for Jamie Jors, I'm Brian Kirivu. Go Pack Go. See everyone. I leave you with the song called Nemo by Umphreys McGee on Psy Fidelity Records.